Town of Garner, Town Council Meeting of February 19, 2019.
Call the meeting order. Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Mayor Williams?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Marshburn?
Present.
Councilmember Behringer?
Here.
Councilmember Kennedy?
Here.
And Councilmember Singleton?
Here.
Okay, Councilmember Behringer is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by an invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Mr. Mayor, I've invited Pastor Cuddy Peacock from the Capitol Church to bring the invocation this evening.
Welcome.
Thank you. Can we pray?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your love and your grace and your compassion, God, that you give us. We're grateful for that. And God, tonight we just lift up the families in this wonderful city. And God, just as that seal on the wall hangs there, we pray for growth and prosperity for every family in this city, every business in this city, every mom, every dad, every child, every high school student, every middle school student. God, we look to you for a source of strength. And God, in time of tragedy, God, we need your peace. God, we lift up the employees from the Walgreens store. God, we pray that you be with those families. And God, we ask you even, God, to touch the guy who caused this crime to happen. God, we ask you to reach out to their family, God. Be with them. Show yourself strong. And God, I just pray for the city of Garner. God, I pray that according to Acts 11, we will see your grace and your mercy and your love be present in this city, God. And tonight, God, we thank you for this council leadership team. God, we ask you to give them peace and direction and wisdom as they lead our great city, God. Give them guidance that they need and decisions that they have to make. Thank you for them and their lives and the position that they have for such a time as this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good. Thank you.
Could we have asked you, how's the school doing on your church site?
How's my school doing? The school is actually doing absolutely fabulous, man. We're having a wonderful time hosting them, and it's going very, very well.
Wonderful. Yeah. How many students you have?
I think there's about 80 students that are part of that academy.
Okay. Yep. Good.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the petitions and comments. That's time on the agenda to address the council on anything that's not on the agenda. If you wish to address the council, come to the podium.
Hello, everyone. I am Carly Sandiford, and I am Miss Garner's outstanding teen. A little bit about me is I am a 16-year-old sophomore at Cornholders High School. I dance competitively at Artistry and Mission in Smithfield, and I will be competing at Miss North Carolina's Outstanding Teen in April in High Point, representing the city of Garner. And I am really excited about being able to represent Garner and hopefully bring home the crown. So in the Miss North Carolina's Outstanding Teen organization, all the teens and contestants are obligated to choose their own social impact or social issue that they are very passionate about. So I chose to create my platform, Show the Love, Caring for Orphans Around the World, because my sister and I were both very blessed to be adopted by my parents, and that served as the inspiration for creating my platform. Show the Love focuses on increasing awareness about the global orphan crisis and informing others about what they can do to care for orphans around the world. Over the past 4 years, I've been sharing my own personal adoption story, and I've been collecting baby and medical supplies for special care facilities in China, and collecting pajamas for local foster care children. And recently, I have just raised over $3,000 for a local family's adoption with a puzzle fundraiser. So I have already visited a couple of Garner's businesses, and I wanted to thank you guys so much for all of your support of the Garner Girls. And I'd like to offer myself to be a guest speaker. If any of you guys have any clubs or organizations that you'd like for me to come speak at, and I'd love to speak about the Miss North Carolina's Outstanding Teen Organization and my platform. So you guys can contact me at my on my social media sites, on Facebook at the Miss Garner Scholarship Organization page, and on Instagram, if any of you guys have Instagram, at Miss Garner's OT, and at Shed the Love Adoption. So I'd like to thank you guys so much for letting me come and speak. And do you guys have any questions for me?
No, but I did notice how quick you looked at this and said, if any of you guys had Instagram and gave that expression, like, I know you don't, but you're exactly right, you don't. My kids do, and I do follow up, stay on Facebook. But anyway, that's thank you. And your group is called Show the Love, that deals with adoption to orphan status or programs, and you're trying to help. That's what you'd like to promote?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just want to make a quick comment, but I also wanted to jive Mr. Singleton a little bit. I think I have a 8-year-old grandson who helps me with Instagram, so I may have access to that. I didn't know about. I commend you for your achievements and for your platform.
Thank you.
As one who worked a little bit as a volunteer as a guardian ad litem in the court system and made me more aware of children that are adopted or sometimes are abused. It's commendable what you've done already in terms of raising money and those kinds of things. I encourage you in that pursuit, and this council will encourage you as you continue to represent our town. We thank you for doing that.
Thank you so much. And now I'd like to introduce my Miss, Maya Bryant, Miss Garner.
Good evening, Mayor Ronnie Williams, Town Councilman, and the City of Garner. As she said, my name is Maya Bryant, and I am Miss Garner 2019, and in June, I will represent the Town of Garner at the Miss North Carolina pageant. So in addition to being a representative of the Miss America organization as Miss Garner, I am also a lifelong advocate for the arts. I truly believe that with perseverance, we will be able to create the important shift from the arts are nice to the arts are necessary. My platform, Arts at the Core, Arts Integration, strives for integrating arts in our schools and communities. I am where I am today because someone believed in me enough and helped me hone my creative skills. I would not be the woman that I am standing before you if it were not like teachers such as Toke Allen, my elementary school chorus teacher, who taught me that confidence is the key to success when she trusted me with the role of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in our Honors Chorus holiday performance. Or Amy Davis and Sean Greer, my high school chorus teachers, who taught me to always be prepared. Thanks to them, I'll never forget a pencil or a notepad in a meeting because I wasn't allowed to walk into rehearsal without one. Or Amy White, my college theater professor, who never let me walk into class or rehearsal without willing to give 110%. Thanks to her, I never wake up without willing to give that very same effort each day. No limitations can stop someone who understands the importance of arts in our lives. Because of my arts background and because of my arts instructors gave me the tools to success, I am who I am today. Graduate of William Peace University, a graduate of Liberty University's Master of Art and Communications program, a full-time employee, and your Miss Garner 2019. Can you imagine if every student in North Carolina and our nation had the same opportunity to fall in love with the arts as I did? Let's never give up on making that vision a reality. I am a product of arts education in North Carolina. The arts are vital if we are to have a bright and creative future. Let's never forget that those involved in the arts can problem solve in new and creative ways, because in addition to knowing how to think outside the box, they understand the box itself. My goal as Miss Garner is to ensure that every child can be impacted by the arts in some way, through continuing my partnership with the Town Players of Garner and other arts programs in the Garner area. I need your help, and I'm interested in speaking in schools and speaking to more people in Garner and holding events in Wake County that involve the participation in the arts. So just like Carly, you can reach out to me on Facebook at the Miss Garner Organization or Miss Garner 2019. I'm also on Instagram at @MissGarner_NC. So thank you so much for your time, and thank you in advance for your support in the arts. And I'd also like to open up if you have any questions for me.
I'll have to show my ignorance, but could you tell us what was your talent presentation for in winning the Miss Garner title?
Yes, I sung Everybody Says Don't from the musical Anyone Can Whistle.
Well, thank you. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Harold, I'm going to ask you to make a few comments. Tell them how long you've been doing this, Harold.
50 years.
The reason I let them do their own talking tonight is because I got a little sore throat, whatever you want to call it. I think I got it from Carlene, her dad, but anyway, so I just have to say, on behalf of Ms. Garner Group, we really appreciate what the town does, and we try to be part of promoting the town across the country. And so I think these two girls would do a great job with it. So they've already started. They're going to be busy, so I'm keeping them busy. Mm-hmm. And of course, they can't be quiet. They must have said, so anyway.
That's good.
But it's good. So that's good. I thought tonight they did well. Like, for instance, when they do the interview, it's 1 to 10. I don't give a 10. I give them a 9. So I don't think nobody's perfect. But they are perfect in one more respect. Anyway, thank you for your time, and we'll hope that they do well in this North Carolina.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks. Questions for Harold? Anybody? Any questions for Harold?
When is the Miss North Carolina pageant? I should know, but what's the date for that?
Miss North Carolina,
the teen pageant
is April 12th
through 14th.
Come here and tell them. For the teen pageant, the teen and the Miss pageant are separate this year. So the teen pageant will be in High Point, where I'll be competing, and it will be April 12th through 15th.
Okay.
And then hers.
And then I will move into William Peace University again, but this time as a candidate for Miss North Carolina on June 17th. And you can watch live on ABC 11 on June 22nd at 8 p.m.
Okay, thank you.
So if you'd like to have tickets to Miss North Carolina, let me know. Have a time. I'll be glad to get tickets for you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Now the adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to think we need to pull the one item under the public hearing for the nightclub tavern issue.
All right.
It was getting some notifications taken care of. Otherwise, with that being said, and do we need a closed session for any reason, Bill? Good. With that being said, with the one modification to remove the one public hearing, move we approve the agenda.
Second.
Motion made. Second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. We've done the business. Okay, we're down to the consent form.
Mr. Mayor, before the council votes on consent, I'm going to ask that the February 4th, 2019 minutes be pulled. I think we have some comments about the clarity of those minutes, and I don't think we're going to be able to hash that out right now. And so we're going to take another look at that and just make sure we have that accurate before we bring those back to you. I guess there's maybe a different interpretation of what those minutes, the context of those minutes, so I would ask we just pull those from the agenda tonight and bring them back to you at another time.
So you're saying the consent agenda, it will be minutes from December 3rd, 2018, December 22nd, December 29th. Council meetings November 7th through 8th, council retreat and closed session minutes from December 3rd, 2018 and February 4th, 2019.
Right, let me make sure I clarify those.
January 22nd minutes.
Oh, January 22nd. I'm sorry. January 22nd.
So January 22nd is the minutes that we want to pull.
Yes, the pool, yes.
Okay, Mr. Miami, we approve the consent agenda. However, with removing or withdrawing the January 22nd, 2019 minutes until adoption at a later date.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Aye. All opposed. Okay, we've got that public hearing. We're not going to do that. 8-1, and it's also whatever covered. It got good planning commission. The introduction of the 2019-20 budget process. Michael Franks.
All right, Mayor, members of council, welcome to the first of several meetings for the FY19, FY20 budget. The agenda for this presentation, I'm going to introduce the budget team quickly, go over some key dates, talk about some budget issues and priorities, and then take any questions that council has. So just quickly going through the budget team, obviously Mr. Dickerson, Mr. Hodges, Mr. Roylands, Pam in the audience, and myself. So some key dates. So January 25th, decision packages plus five-year requirements for the budget were due. So as we've talked about a little bit in the past, this year is going to be a little bit different, where we asked department heads to think about their long-term five-year requirements. So these are going to be similar to decision packages, so the bigger the personnel items, operating items with a significant impact. So those were due on the 25th, as well as decision packages for this budget year for FY20. So we have a long-term understanding of what the big requirements are within the town in terms of personnel and big operating requirements. February 15th, the FY20 operating budget was due. So that was more the line item detail for the operating budget for departments within this year. So the things that they're going to be doing this year within their operating budget. February 26th, we'll review budget requirements in third quarter with council. So what I would point out here in terms of reviewing budget requirements is on January 25th and 15th, that's when I obtained the information related to the big ticket items and also the operating budget. So it's going to be a preliminary overview. We're going to talk about a high-level forecast in terms of where we're seeing revenues, some of the baseline requirements that we believe that are going to come forward this year, and then also some of the decision packages that are included this year. Just a high-level, you know, these are some of the things that are going to be out there and give everybody a feel of what the budget year is going to look like. In addition, on that day, we'll do another high-level overview of third quarter. So this will be more of a conceptual conversation, just to get everybody familiar again with the process as we are going to move forward with it in the coming weeks. Then on March 26th, we'll have the bonds follow-up from the council retreat in November, as well as third quarter update with council. So this is where staff will actually make recommendations related to the third quarter. So we'll talk about where we are revenue-wise, where we are expenditure-wise in the current year, any adjustments staff feels like might be warranted or things that we feel like we might do, and we'll bring those forward to you as well and also have a conversation about the current bond, future bonds, some potential requirements for the future bond referendum as part of that meeting. Then the next date will actually be April 16th. As we went through the calendar again, we realized that we, in order to incorporate council's comments from the 26th on third quarter, need a little bit additional time. So April 16th will be the date where we come for you for approval of third quarter. And that, again, is so that we can incorporate the conversation of the 26th into the recommendations that we ultimately make. So key dates continued. April 30th, council will receive a copy of the proposed budget. May 2nd, we'll have the Law and Finance Committee with Garner File. We'll give an overview of their budget. May 6th, we'll have the recommended budget public hearing. Followed by the 7th, we'll have the all-day-long budget work session. On June 3rd, we'll again have a recommended budget public hearing. And then on June 18th, hopefully council will adopt the budget. In terms of priorities this year, the first priority of reviewing upcoming requirements and mechanisms available to fund them is loosely tied to the five-year budget plan. I think the town does a great job of thinking about the long-term requirements that we have. And what I hope to do in the future is lay out a funding plan associated with those long-term requirements so we can do the planning exercises that we've had go on with the transportation plan and different exercises and planning and have a good feel of what we think we're going to need to do, what we can hopefully with the long-term budget plan match available resources to fund those requirements in a way that we think makes sense. The second priority ties directly into the first. The more planning we do, the more thinking we do about the future, the more we have a good feel for what's coming up and how we're going to fund them, the better we're going to be able to make strategic investments that maximize the resources that we do have within the budget. The third one is going to be, I would imagine on this list forever, provide comprehensive benefits. It's going to be a necessary thing to maintain our competitiveness within the region, to continue to provide employees comprehensive benefits that are affordable and meet their needs. And finally, the last priority, utilize technology and tools to improve service and efficiency. So we have a variety of IT projects currently being implemented or in the pipeline. We now have the IT project manager in IT. So we're making progress in terms of implementing some various technology requirements that we think will have impacts on our service level and our efficiency. Say one example this year in terms of something we were able to benefit from was this will be the first year within the budget process that department heads were able to deliver their budget within the town's financial system. And it sounds like a fairly small thing, but in terms of me being able to do my job, it allows for a variety of different ways to do analysis, and it's actually it has a big impact on my ability to provide service and do things as well as possible. So those small little steps might seem small, but they lead to bigger things and have a big impact on our ability to provide quality services and to do things in an efficient manner. So with that, I'll take any questions you guys have about this presentation or the budget process in general in terms of the calendar or anything else.
Questions for Mike?
I don't...
Go ahead, Ken.
I was going to say, I was trying to recall it in previous years if we ever put in what I will call a slippage date. That's probably not a good term, but if we have something on a scheduled date and we run over, maybe we don't need that. I guess we do. We can do it as we go. But this is pretty set dates, and that's probably the best way to do it, but I didn't know if we might need to have an extra date available in case we needed more time for certain elements of it.
We do usually have a tentative, or not necessarily a tentative date, but know or acknowledge that we might have to have an additional budget work session.
Right.
So my hope would be that we're starting a little bit earlier in the process, and then we'll be able to obtain your feedback a little bit earlier, so that with that, we should be able to move even a little bit quicker potentially.
Good.
But we do have we don't have a scheduled date, but we know that there is the potential need for an additional budget work session.
And one strategy that we've used in the past is that if we need to follow up on something, sometimes we will allocate time either before a regular council meeting or after, at the end of a regular council meeting or work session to do follow-up.
Okay. Yeah.
That'll help give us some flexibility.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Mike.
Let me give it a turn. I've mentioned this informally to Pam and to Mike, and I think I briefly mentioned it to Rodney, but I'd like for council to consider a policy regarding this budget and for ongoing budgets to consider increasing the operating budget only to the extent that our revenues from taxes and development fees increase. We've been on a trend for 4 years at least that our operating budget has been increasing beyond just the need to pay debt service, but it's been increasing at a faster rate than our source of revenues. I'm sure you've heard me talk about this and several different ways, but the long-term effect is that we're eating or we're flatlining or either eating into our reserve balance. I'm looking for ways that we can. I'm not trying to prevent us taking care of those items in a budget that are necessary and are justifiable, particularly in the eyes of the public, but what staff believes we need and what we assess to be needed. But I think it's important to also look down the road, not to continue to raid the fund balance, because we have issues, we have opportunities that have come before us during the year, just like the recent one about buying a valuable piece of property. And $2.4 million is no small piece of change. And I think we need to act on it. And I think we're going to need to take some significant amount of dollars from fund balance. again, I'm not against increasing the budget. I think I would suggest we do two things, and it involves both staff and the council. And that is, one is to probably not the right words, but I'll say tighten up our estimate of revenues and expenditures and be as accurate as we can and identify what needs to be funded. But the second thing is, from the council standpoint, is for us to take the time and ask the questions and assess the needs that are presented to us, and then actually to know when is the appropriate time and how we find those additional revenues, even to the extent of raising taxes. But we need to know, we get into the middle of the year and we're pulling money out of fund balance, but we're at the same time says, well, there's enough leeway in the budget that we're putting money back, and it's back and forth, and it gets lost. It simply gets lost in the process, or at least I lose it. And I think if we are conscious about trying not to braid that fund balance, then we have a little bit more accurate handle of the money's moving from first take it out of fund balance and then put it back. It's misleading us. We are misleading ourselves. I don't mean that staff is trying to mislead us. We're misleading ourselves. And overall, I think we will have a better operating policy if we consider trying to operate within these guidelines. Now, I suggest it. I'm not ready to make a motion for that. Maybe something that law and finance wants to consider. You've been patient and hadn't rolled your eyes at me yet, but that's my thoughts. And tonight, since we're it's questions about the budget, I raise it. Comments, please.
You would want it to be an adopted policy that's in favor of this year's budget?
Yes.
Okay.
I think my initial reaction, Mr. Kennedy, is it's all the time that I've served on this council. I think it's fair to say that, you know, this town has been run and this council has directed that we be fiscally prudent, even conservative, I guess, is a term. And I agree with part of your premise that, you know, if you keep dipping into the reserve fund, that can be problematic, even though we seem to have been able to keep a healthy, what I would consider to be a healthy reserve, and to use it judiciously when needed. I guess my only, I think, you know, using maybe your general ideas as guiding principles, but I'm not sure it would be well and wise to absolutely adopt that, particularly this early stage of the budget, because there's still any number of unknowns, it seems to me, that we have to work through as we go through the budget process. So I don't know that I would favor at this early stage adopting what I'm understanding you to say, beyond maybe having a verbal understanding that fiscal principles that you're talking about are certainly important. So I guess if I would summarize what I'm saying is, I'm pleased to hear you say that you're not prepared to make a motion on that tonight, but I'll try to give more thought to what you're saying and try to be open to your suggestions.
I'm perfectly willing and would welcome comment back from staff on this, because it's just because I think of it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right thing to do. But based on precedent, staff can look at it and say over the past 4 years, okay, council has approved it. It's in my tool bag that if we can't balance the budget, we pull that out of fund balance. Council's been willing to do that. I want to change that mindset. I want us to change, I'd like for us to give it serious review. I'll give you a prime example. We got a good presentation at the work session about the roadway pavement evaluation. And it calls for us spending some additional dollars. And some sources of revenue were identified. But when we may not like that, we're pulling back some revenue, say it from public, I mean, from power bill funds to put over into the pavement side. And then we've got to come through the back door to replenish those funds from the operating budget to backfill the needs for where some of them have been used in public works. Hope you follow me there. I'm not against taking care of our streets, and I certainly don't want to say, well, public works, you got to suck it up and, you know, push back on your budget. But streets are an item that every citizen uses every day. And if it's an item where we have to increase our expenditures, that's a place where you go to the public and say, this is something we need to do, and we don't have the funds in any other way, and we have tightened the budget, and we're trying to keep from just raiding the fund, because you can't rate that fund every year and expect to have anything in it. That's the time you have to say, this is when we need to raise taxes, if we get to that point. So, that's one example. Mike, Pam, Rodney, go at it. I got a bullseye on me.
I think council.
I have a question. I know in the past the local government commission has had a recommended amount or percentage of operating budgets to be held in reserves. Do they still have that? And if so, where are we in respect to that recommendation?
It's 8%, but that's just the general number that they have.
We're above that.
I'll let him speak more. But there are some more general rules that supersede that, because that wouldn't be practical for a town our size.
The 8% is a guiding principle, but it is not anything set in stone. There is a calculation that we make at the end of every year. It's called stabilization by state statute, and it reflects your budget and your fund balance. I think this past year that was about $3 million. Our fund balance runs about, our unreserved fund balance runs about 55% of our expenditures. So it is significantly above what is required.
Very good. Can you go a step further, and what is our policy of holding back in unencumbered, and we're in the undesignated fund balance?
The 30%,
yeah.
The
council policy is 30%, and if we have to go to 25, we can, with the knowledge that we have to build it back to 30 as quickly as possible.
And that 50-some percent amounts to about $17 million now. And our 30% policy applied to that is something in excess of $10 million. Which leaves us about $7 million in fund balance, and we're going to take at least half of the $2.4 million out of that fund balance to buy this piece of property. And we don't know what, and next year there's going to be something that's going to raid it. And these things happen, but am I off in my assessment or my general representation of the numbers?
No, sir. I think you're quite accurate on those numbers.
But isn't it true that, I mean, I think I just heard you say, and I've seen figures, it's we've been very effective at, shall I say, paying ourselves back and keeping that fund balance, so it's not in a declining state. It's either stable or growing some, isn't it?
yet our budget's growing and our fund balance is flatlined. And all that's available to us is like that $7 million. And you think of the things that we've got ahead of us that we got to be able to respond to, that you can't, you can't raise those funds by taxes just like that. I've said plenty. The point's made, and I'll stay on it for us, and I'll still be friends with you if you vote against it at the time comes. I'll be interested to see how the budget comes in.
Mr. Kennedy, could I ask one clarifying question on your statement? I wrote down, and I've lost it already, but rolled. I believe you said you wanted them to consider a policy where we couldn't go. Were you meaning percentage? A percentage similar?
No, same numbers. If our revenues increase $1 million, increase the budget $1 million.
I couldn't remember if you said increase the same percentage or increase the same dollars.
No.
I just want to make sure I capture.
And that was for property tax and building.
Okay.
And the development revenues are going to be a different.
And development fees are going to come down this year. And I think the hard thing for us to comprehend, me in particular, and Rodney and I have had the same conversation several times. Well, we only set it up in the budget to use fund balance, but we really don't have to use it because the revenues are enough to put it back. But if you spend it, you spend it. I voted to spend. I'm just looking at voting. I'm looking at a policy of accounting for our dollars and making sure that we are sound going ahead. And if we need, when the appropriate time comes to address ongoing issues, is to have the guts to say either tighten the budget or raise taxes. One or the other or both. I'd like for us to be, instead of looking at it as an amoeba that kind of changes shape as the day goes by and as the months go by, firm it up. And so we know what we're doing. I'm not against what we've invested in. I like the destination. I just don't like the trip. It's not a good way to go.
And I would just...
I was just going to sort of ask maybe Councilmember Kennedy, how much do you allow for flexibility that projects, money that you don't have this year, but because of growth, housing and other areas that you're going to have additional funding going forward? I mean, it seems to me that it's reasonable to calculate that in, and maybe if you have to dip in the reserve on this budget cycle, you have a provision, I guess unless the national economy falls apart, sometimes that could happen, but you have a provision whereby going forward, not only will you be able to probably make up the undesignated fund balance, but you expect some increase in that. Is that a reasonable theory, Pam?
If I followed your entire conversation,
yes, sir.
I mean, most of the time, I can't even think of a time in the recent past that revenues haven't come in much greater than we budgeted and expenditures haven't come in less. And that's largely in part by nature of a budget. You have to give guidelines and assumptions. We have to put those assumptions in place. Mike does a fabulous job with getting the numbers and getting a handle on those. But you can't always pinpoint those numbers. Some numbers we thought we had a really good handle on, like investment earnings, we thought we were in really good shape. We had a really good handle on those, and they have come in extremely high compared to what we budgeted. So, there's just some things you just
it's best
can't.
Guess.
Yeah, you just don't know. And I would just add that, you know, we have had this conversation the last couple of budget years, and the budget team is, you know, we're aware of the concerns with the fund balance, and I think we're, you know, making steps and taking steps to try to reduce that to a point to where we, you know, hopefully don't have to use it. We've tightened up on our revenue estimates and using hopefully better modeling and actuals and historical data. You know, we've introduced this long-term funding models to you as a means of being able to, I guess, have better estimates on what things are going to cost in the future and what things are going to need replacing, and you know, just taking different steps to try to do better as far as forecasting expenditures and revenues. It is difficult. We have used fund balance in the past, but you know, we can't always be 100% pinpoint accurate on what revenues are going to do, because there's so many external factors that determine that. And we know we're in a growing time. We're in a growing town. You know, staff is growing. Services are growing. And, you know, with that, the budget's going to grow. And we got to have some type of mechanism to meet those service demands. So,
I think we're doing a good job on projecting our expenditures. And what particularly with the capital needs. But I'd say, Ken, you're saying that, you know, when in prosperous times we can put it back. Well, if we got revenues, when is the last time we adopted a budget that says, you know, we've held expenses underneath the revenues and we're going to contribute $500,000 to the fund balance this year? It ain't happening. It doesn't happen. I mean, if the funds are there, we're going to spend it.
But Mr. Kennedy, don't we, and I give you a lot of credit for it, all the credit for it, yes, I mean, we have a process called the Revenue Savings Plan that, in my mind, is a built-in process whereby we are setting aside a certain amount of money for that program each year based on a percentage of the increase in revenues, right?
And it's rather ironic that the amount of that increase equals the amount that we've taken out of fund balance. I know I'm aggravating all of you. A point is to be made of seeing how we're evaluating ourselves. I'm not against the investments that Garner needs. I just want to be able to, when the opportunity strikes and the demand is there, that we've got to be, I want us to be ready to respond and not have to say, oh, wow, I wish we had it. We have to let this one go by. I'm not ill at anybody. I'm not saying anybody's doing a bad job. If anybody's doing a bad job, I am because I can't explain it well enough. So, y'all consider it. You know where I'm headed.
Well, Buck makes some very good points, and as we get this year's budget, we'll have some more detailed information to discuss considering that, what he's asked us to consider a policy. We also have to remember that the council meets 24 to 36 times a year, and you can change a policy 24 to 36 times a year. So the policy can be changed at every meeting. Also, at the budget, we can, and that's, I mean, it can happen. You can change policies because it's a policy, it's not a statute. It's a policy versus an ordinance. That's right. You don't have a public hearing. We also remember at this year's budget session that there'll be another person sitting on this council, and we have no dates selected in case somebody's asking, when are you going to name the new town council member? We don't know because resumes are accepted through this Thursday, right?
Correct.
It's from 5 p.m., and then the council will get together on some dates. I'd say the next 4 to 6 weeks that should happen. But we have not set any dates. We'll talk about it until we get the resumes that are coming into Ms. Gibson's office. So Buck raises good points. His point about the purchase of the park property, we will use some fund balance for that and probably some park land fees that are collected. That's an opportunity that when you get that opportunity, you say, yes, let's work this out. We also, if this contract, if everything goes through, we got that property at a very good price, at a reduced price from what it'd be assessed at, an evaluation of what it could sell in the market, not the tax value in the marketplace. So his point is well taken. And again, we had the budget meeting, and you know, after this discussion, Ken, you may be right. We've got one meeting on May 7th. We may be scheduling two or three more, as we discussed what Mr. Kennedy brings up, which, is, again, are very good points. I don't argue with the points he's bringing up, because he's trying to look out for opportunities that come in the future, because we know there are going to be some items to address, because we'll have bought two pieces of land for parks, and we're going to, you know, got to develop one or two, or part of one or part of the other. That'll need probably a future bond referendum, but you want some money there, seed money to help get that process started. So that's just one of the things. You know, I'm very passionate about resurfacing our streets, and that item is going to go to a Public Works Committee meeting that we're working on a date for to discuss that and a couple other items I think you're all aware of, trying to nail down a date to bring back something to discuss at the budget. So his points well taken. We'll get there, and we'll have a good discussion, I'm sure, with the updates that Michael has on these key dates, and I'm sure that on May the 7th we'll have some good discussion. Some riveting discussion.
And I'm confident y'all will do a fine job.
Oh, okay. Anyone else? Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Mr. Jeff, Freight Trade and Merger, UDO 1802.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. This item tonight is just coming back to you for final action. This is UDO 1802 text amendment requiring neighborhood meetings. Just wanted to highlight a couple of changes since you saw it last at the suggestion of the Planning Commission. If you turn to page 57 of your packets, we did make a couple of edits to subsections 4 and 5. Just to have the developer include the planning department in their notification so that we actually have something that comes in the mail and can go on file, as well as to have them required to keep a list of envelopes that get returned so that we can know at least who may not have gotten a notice in the mail due to an unsuccessful delivery attempt due to a bad address. But otherwise, everything else is still the same as when you saw it last. There's an ordinance attached for your potential approval. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Otherwise, I'll leave it to you.
Questions? So the highlighted yellow wording was added?
Yes, added.
I want to thank Jeff for moving this forward and pretty promptly. Met with Jeff and John Hodges and Dean Fox, the Planning Commission, back in the fall. We discussed some different items, and this was one that came up, and I think everyone was in pretty much accord. We need to move forward with this because of what some other communities were doing, and because we had been encouraging neighborhood meetings, and for the most part, most people followed it. However, there were more than once we had to pull or delay a meeting and encourage the developer to have one. And that's not good to do when you're on a 2 or 4 week, you know, trying not to delay it more than a month. So this lays that pretty up front. So I appreciate you working on this, get some information to other communities that lets people know that that developers know, and also that residents know that these neighborhood meetings are required. So I think it's a good part of the process.
I think it's a good policy and procedure resulting in an ordinance.
Yeah, I support it. I don't have a problem voting for it. I think it's a well done. Nice to have, even though Mr. Single said we can change our policy. This is not a change in policy. This is, I guess, an ordinance.
Adoption of an ordinance, yes.
Are you ready to adopt that ordinance?
Yes, Mr. Brown, we would adopt ordinance 2019-3951.
That was under petition and comment. We've already done that.
We've already had a public hearing on this side.
I didn't think we had a public hearing on this.
This was a couple of meetings ago. We had the public hearing.
I thought it was given to the Planning Commission. I thought this was the hearing.
The public hearing was before.
Before.
So the Planning Commission, you hear the comments.
So there's no chance?
It's up to the council if they want to.
We're getting ready to adopt it, and I think everybody's in favor of it. So. Yes, ma'am. That'll be fine. But we've already had a public hearing. Mr. Mayor, I move we adopt ordinance 2019-3951.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Committee reports.
We talked about having a public works committee meeting. I just would suggest, John, just get with me and Gray and among staff members and let's come up with some dates that we can work around and talk about the content of the agenda, because it sounds like we're going to have two or three items.
I think it's fair to say that law and finance will seek a time for a meeting. This would be prior to the convening for the considering of the fire department budget, but I think there's at least one item, maybe two, that a committee will need to consider. So we'll look to be scheduling that sometime within the next couple of weeks. Okay, manager reports. Rodney.
Mr. Mayor, you have standard reports, Garner info, then the finance report in the back of your agenda packet, as well as a building and permit report. So if you have any questions about any of those, we try to answer that. Some reminders, we have the town and state dinner tomorrow, where we'll have a chance to hopefully speak with some of our legislatures at a League of Municipalities event. And then I want to congratulate the GDC and the Economic Development Department, Joe Stallings, for they were awarded a Triangle Business Journal Space Awards for their work in the Garner Technology site and bringing Amazon and everything that came with that, the due diligence over the last, you know, several years and making that happen. And in light of the tragedy that happened out there and what that's going to mean, you know, for the community in the future. So I don't know if Mr. Marshburn has anything to say about that.
I only regret that I was away and didn't get a chance to attend the ceremony, but it was well done. John, I believe you were there. I know Mr. Anderson was there. But you're right. A lot of, dedicated work took place on the board of directors and the advisory board, and I commend Bruce Andrews, who our chairman was there. As you probably know, there are going to be some changes on probably the board of directors and the advisory board in the coming days, and you'll be hearing more about a plan of work or redirecting of that of the GEDC that council will hear more about. And I think the recommendations that we have received are moving us in a sort of a different and a positive direction, to give John credit for leading some of that, and Joe, and perhaps others. But I'm still excited about what the future holds for that organization. I think we were so focused for a long period of time on just doing something positive with the property, and then when it all happened, it's kind of like we have to stop and take a breath and pause a little bit and decide where we go from here. But I think we have some real definitive plans that will keep that organization busy for some time to come. Thank you.
All right. A few other reminders. The Showcase of Talent at the GPAC will be held on Saturday, February 23rd. So this Saturday coming up, it'll be a show at 2 o'clock and then another repeat show at 7. We also have the Mike Ferris Show coming March 2nd to the GPAC. Chamber will be having its Taste of the Town event on March the 1st at Wake Tech. And then the other thing is Vandoor Springs Elementary School. Yeah, Elementary School will be having its Read Across America program and has asked for volunteers to read to students on February 25th and March the 1st. So if you're interested in that, just let the Stella Town Clerk know. And that's all I have.
Mr. Attorney.
Oh, no, sir. Thank you.
Sam, good to see you.
I just look forward to seeing you tomorrow after leaving
again. Good. Let's start with the council. Mr. Marshburn. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I might just tack on to what our town manager said. Vandoor has one. I know Timber Drive also. I believe they've
given... Grand Road, too.
Yeah, okay. So there are plenty of places to go and help with the, what is it, Read Across America program. I always look forward to it every year. So it's a nice way to interact with some of our school students. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to, I missed the meeting where this council was given a distinctive honor and recognized by the Martin Luther King Committee for their Dream in Action Award. I went back and both looked at the minutes and saw the video, and I think speaks well of the council and certainly how this committee views the fine work that we do. So the nice plaque that we received was...
their relationship to it, too.
Yeah, I think so. So, thank the committee for recognizing us, and thank the council for doing due diligence to receive that prestigious award. The other thing I would mention, I think these are pretty hot off the press. If council members don't have them yet, I'm sure you can get your hands on. This is the annual Parks and Rec Cultural Resources year-end review. Got some interesting statistical numbers in there. So I picked this up last night. Maybe you already have them. I'm not sure. And also a nice little brochure, which I think is new, but at any rate, I wanted to point those out to you. And council members should find at their desk a nice email that I had received in regards to a previous meeting, so I just wanted you to be aware of the kind comments that were made by a gentleman who attended that meeting and observed the proceedings. It's always encouraging, I think, when you receive those kinds of that kind of feedback. And I believe that's it. The town manager's already covered. Yeah, there's some nice things going on at the GPAC, so take advantage of those if you can. Thank you.
Kathy.
Yes, sir. At the council meeting, I believe 2 weeks ago, I had asked about the trailers that were appeared to be being dismantled over on the railroad right away by Bryan Petroleum. There were four. Now there's only one left. And so I've been concerned for a number of years about the safety. They were at one time being lived in and very close to the railroad track, but three of the four are gone. I don't know about additional plans, but I feel better about the safety of the folks that are living over there. And last Tuesday, I went with some folks from the fire department to Wilson to see the fire safety house that they have there. It's a facility that has been fitted to educate the public about fire safety. And a very interesting fact was that most of the funding came from a FEMA grant. So that is something that we might want to keep in mind that our fire department may want to try to do. Lots of information. One of the things they told us was that, for instance, when social services is involved with the care of senior citizens who are at great health risk, that the fire department is notified of that in the town, and that they are tasked with developing a plan for removing those people from their homes should they need to be. And that's something we don't think about. We think mostly about the bells and whistles when there's a fire. But the fire department are indeed emergency services, and they cover a lot more than we think about on a daily basis. So that was a very informative meeting.
Hey.
Just a couple things, Mr. Mayor. I know we're waiting for the construction to take place at the rec center. That part of it's going to be paving, improvements on Highway 70, parking, also the parking area beside the GPAC. I know that that highways are being milled and resurfaced in Wake County right now, because I was on one of them today there at Wendell. Highway 97 is being remilled, is being milled, and potholes, where potholes were, all the driveways, intersections are milled, so they're resurfacing the road. So here in the middle of February, they are resurfacing roads. So we hear you can't do certain new roads. I sit there and watch them with my own eyes today, so it is happening. And it's not just a patch. They have milled every intersection through Lizard Lick, built every driveway. They worked on potholes today. They're resurfacing the road. So this is not a patching project. It is a resurfacing project. So that is going on and can go on. I'm going to mention something here. Go back a few years. Had a classmate of mine who passed away last week, Fred Elliott. He lived over and was born here, raised in Garner, over in Cloverdale, where his dad and brother still live. He played sports in Garner. A very good athlete. He was a member of the 1978 championship baseball team. I think a lot of people that live here now don't know that Garner's won four state championships, and we've done all four of the big sports, baseball, girls basketball, football, men's basketball. But in 1978, we won two state championships in a three-month period. Girls basketball won it in March, and the baseball team won it in June of 78. I was there in school. I saw every girl game the girls played because I was on the basketball team, the JV team of that year, and watched every game. And we won the baseball championship in June down toward Charlotte. And a lot of people here just don't know that. We won football in 87. We won basketball in 2015. It's out there on the wall. I think it was 2015. I was at three to four state championships that we won. Wasn't at the baseball one. But anyway, it's just something a lot of people here don't know. We only had one high school at the time. Still had the same two middle schools. I think four elementary schools. But it goes back. Trinity's at his wake, they had quite a few pictures and some teammates and so forth were there. So it's interesting. A lot of people just don't know that. Garner's always been called a ball town, and it hadn't just been baseball. It's been football and basketball, too. I've been known for that for many, many years. So people sitting here and watching this, the huge ratings that we have of people watching our meetings. Anyway, I thought I'd mention that because a lot of people just aren't aware of it. They may see it if they go to the Garner High School and see that one of the state championships. But we won two state championships. And what's amazing on the girls' team is they went undefeated, and they all started a graduation, and then one went to Athens and one moved, and then went to Sanderson. And the next year, we went back to the state championship again. We lost one game in the season or two, played for the state championship again, and lost in the finals. So, and members of that state championship team played college ball. One of the girls, Teresa Brown, they moved, and she went to Sanderson her last 2 years, but she went to Carolina and played basketball. She was first team all ACC. She was very good. There were some very good athletes on there, and some of those players are in the Garner Hall of Fame, and I hope one day soon that the Trojan Club puts the championship teams in the Hall of Fame. It's been over 40 years. Those teams need to be in the Hall of Fame. But anyway, a lot of people aren't aware of that, and I just mentioned that because of the passing of my friend, and Mr. Bridges was there. We were, as many of y'all know, we were in high school together and graduated together, so he was there. That's when he had more hair in his head than he does now. Actually, it was curly, too. But anyway, I just want to mention that because so many people, new people have moved here and just aren't aware of that. But the football team has played in more than the one state championship game. They played in three, I believe, final games. Basketball teams played in one or two. They won the Eastern Regional Final a couple of years before we won the state championship. So we've had some really good teams here and good athletes in Garner over the years. Boys programs, girls program, all combined. And had some individual state champions over the years, too. So it's just one of the many great things that happens. But we're still what some people may consider a ball town. But anyway, it's just something I want to bring up. A lot of people just aren't aware of that. I'll stop. Thank you.
Yes, Gray and I both have had, I suppose because we were on Public Works Committee, we've had inquiries about, I reckon they're townhomes, and maybe I'll call them townhomes, just off or facing Abersboro Road, just beyond maybe it's Old Town Drive, just down the street before you get to the Abersboro Road Baptist Church. The question was that lot had been there for vacant, and it had a lot of leaves and material, and it was absorbing the rain. Now that it got cleared, and even though there's a retention pond or detention pond put in the back, people called to our attention about the water draining off the northwest corner and causing some problems at a house that's sitting at a low elevation. I don't know whether anything needs to be done at the house itself or not, but I think we may have recently reviewed or gone out there and looked at it at that site. If necessary, I think Public Works can get behind the idea of some type of piping that would be more proactive in getting it off that site rather than the chance of water getting into the back of those building units on the lower level. I was by there earlier this morning, and I think maybe a little bit of grading, perhaps, on one of those lower units might improve it, but I'd encourage a close look at that to see if any proactive work needs to be done to install a, not a large pipe, but something that would take the flow out of that pond if it happened to over once it fills up.
Just a second.
Go ahead.
He's talked to some property owners there. I have. We've both been out there at different times looking at it, Chris. I'll send you some pictures to property owners sent me. Because this rain we're getting tonight is going to be another one where the rain comes right up to the back door to the stoop. And I'll send you the pictures and we can talk about it. I know that Jonathan is somewhat aware of it, but it's something I think we're going to need to consider. These townhomes have been there a long time with the clearing of the lot. Yes, there's a detention device there, but how will that work? And it's just where those at the end of that line of townhomes, and that one in particular is lower than everything else. It's a low spot.
If you turn off Aversboro, go down 150 yards, turn back left, run in parallel with Aversboro, the back, when you're standing behind the lot on the left corner, it'll be pretty obvious. There's a row of townhomes that are at one level, and then there's a pretty severe drop. One's at the lower level, and it's catching the water coming off. I'm glad you added that, and glad you got the pictures.
I'll send the pictures and the address to you. I got those last week.
I've mentioned this already, but Kathy, I think you've always been interested in going to TCC meetings, and there's one next Tuesday on development, and I've asked Stella to go ahead and get me a reservation, but I wanted to mention it tonight. I talked earlier, or I mentioned earlier that we've already received some proposals to do the phase one survey on the Juergen property, and I think Bill, you're working on reviewing those. I just mentioned that in that's ongoing. But in the Triangle Business Journal, there was an article about the developer of the large unit, 600-unit complex out at 1010 and 401. Mr. Halley bought a 500-acre site called Old Town in Southeast Raleigh, and I don't know where its location is.
Corner of New Hope and Rockport. Like okay. Going out Jones Sausage till it turns into New Hope, and then Rock Quarry, where Rock Quarry
intersects. Is that an area that would come into our Jewish jurisdiction?
No.
Okay.
One time was a golf course community. One time years ago before the recession in 2008, that was at one time a golf course community was on the plans to go there, but nothing happened after the recession.
It has no real bearing on us except that land was purchased without benefit of knowing whether they could be it could be rezoned or not, but they thought it was a grand opportunity and went after. That's 500 acres inside Raleigh city limits or in its jurisdiction. That's a hunk of land.
Load it with rock.
Okay, maybe we're going to turn it into a quarry.
coincidentally, because it's all rock quarterback.
We have these conversations from time to time, but I know Chris is new on the block, but I've reserved one additional comment about the rec center. Is Craig brought up the idea about the paving during the wintertime, and you're right. You can pave with some temperatures. You can get on a 2 or 3 day run where temperatures are going to be above 40 degrees. And I know the contractor's trying to get things done, particularly it's got some concrete to pour. My only comment is to hold firm on temperature sensitivities, even in the midst of trying to finish the construction, because we will pay for it if concrete freezes and it's not cured properly. The building report. There was 18 building units approved, which was nice to see. 14 individual dwelling units. Next to last, had an inquiry by a property owner on Thompson Road at the dead end. And Jeff, you may have already had somebody inquiring about that. Could you, for the benefit of all of us, because I think this won't be the first time that somebody will be contacted, this property at the very dead end of Thompson Road, it's about 12 acres. It backs up to the west side, the back side of White Deer Park. Folks have been wanting to sell it, and I'm not sure that they, I know they're not familiar with what the zoning is and what the restrictions are. Could you, for the benefit, so that I can say, listen to this, could you tell us what this, if you know what the zoning is, and could you tell us about the restrictions about being in the Swift Creek watershed and that sort of thing? Just educate us so we'll know. While you're looking that up, Rodney, are we close to setting a date for us to be able to adopt a budget and a plan on the historic preservation?
We're waiting on some estimates from contractors. Public Works has reached out to several contractors, and we thought we would have had them by now, but we haven't gotten those in. And then I'm meeting with the Garner Area Historical Society in a couple of weeks, on the 26th, just to go over the site plan we put together for them. And then if we have the numbers, I told them that I would go through the numbers with them prior to bringing it to the council, and that's pretty much where we are right now.
Okay, did you say you won't go through?
No, Public Works Department has reached out to several contractors to get some quotes on refurbishing some of the items that need to be repaired.
Temple. So maybe within a month?
Hope so.
Good. Thank you. Jeff?
Yes, sir. We were contacted by I think both the property owner and the agent representing the property owner. The end of Thompson Road, those properties have a number of things that affect the development potential for them. The first being that they're at the end of a long dead-end road, and we do have rules about having additional points of access after you reach a certain number of homes on a single road like that. That being said, it's zoned R40 currently, so they could, by right, develop 1-acre lot houses. However, beyond that, and probably even more importantly, is the Swift Creek plan, which has existed since, I think, the late 80s. All of this land here that's hatched in red is in part of the critical area. So that restricts the development potential even more, I think, I want to say that it's one for every 2 acres in the critical area. But it's not, therefore, it's not an area of town where we could upzone, but the upzoning is only going to allow so much because the critical area of the watershed plan trumps what the zoning allows. So you can see here that the entire block of the Buffalo properties are within that zone. So like I say, there's kind of two things at play there. You've got the critical area plus the fact that you're at a dead-end road. And Thompson Road already has 78 homes, I think, at last count, and the threshold for a second point of access is 75. So we've been discussing different opportunities for other points of access or changes to Thompson Road to try to facilitate folks who are interested in developing, but we just kind of have to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that number. I knew that we were aware It being a dead-end road and the issues about point of access or egress. But it so happened that a few years back when development was taking place, council was trying to get a second access through, I think it was called Christian Road, and we had the opportunity to get that access, and we, for whatever reason, I don't know whether it was a staff recommendation, but ultimately we did not require, council that ultimately did not require it. Does that mean that we sealed the fate of development on Thompson Road at that time?
There's still a couple opportunities to fix that. There's not a lot of opportunities, but there still are potentially some ways with this additional tract here that was added to White Deer Park. There is room outside of the floodplain potentially to, connect a road somehow to a back entrance, so to speak. But we'd have to really look at all of that more closely and talk with those developer or folks when they're interested in selling the property. We've also talked about widening Thompson to be a more of a median divided facility so that, again, if there was an accident on the road, it hopefully will only block one side of the road rather than the whole road. So there's still some opportunities. I don't think, given the lack of development potential here, that we could ever, achieve that extension of Thompson back over to Buffalo and Aversboro. But like I say, there's still some possibilities, but it's going to have to be a coordinated effort, I think.
Could you show us where the 1 acre lot that we recently bought that would provide access to a greenway, wherever that was located? I'm guessing it's pretty close to where your cursor is.
Yeah, that's somewhere down.
It's
here,
up,
I think.
A little more. North of the double lot, Jeff.
Right about here?
North of the double lot.
Oh, north of the double lot, right there.
The next one.
Next one up.
Yep.
There you go.
Wow. Does City of Raleigh own that intervening line?
This right here,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And they bought it from Paul Capps a few years back?
Because I believe most of that is
impacting, I reckon, the watershed. They want to preserve it.
Yeah, they bought it as a conservation area.
Right, we could
it might have been a part of some conservation credits or something they were trying to do elsewhere.
We still, the reason I'm bringing it up is that this is not the only question that's going to come. Could you scroll back up further north on Thompson? Mm-hmm. Okay, the land on the left side of where we see green on the right side, yep, right in there. I'm not sure if it's that. I think it's Spence property. Well, I won't say who, maybe it's not Spence. Might be adjacent to Mr. Spence. But there's several acres there. The sign is going back up on. And then the property right in there has been up on the market and off again. And so that it's going to, this question is going to come up again and again. And all I raise it is, it's something that we just will try to fight this battle sooner rather than later. But that's going to be a question to, that's going to be a problem for people just wanting to develop the property. And just a second. That's the end of my questions. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I got, Mayor.
Anybody else? Y'all ready to go home?
Move, we adjourn.
Motion made, second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed.